I have spent the last month studying the word and the subject and the meaning of repentance. I have looked at that subject for 50 years, but I have intensely studied it for the last month. And I have spent the last week every day studying it again, probably not less than 8 hours a day this week. It's a very, very important subject. Jesus came into this world 2,000 years ago, and he began to preach. And the Bible says in Matthew 4 and verse 17, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. He began saying, repent. His last message that he delivered while he was in what we call his earthly ministry is recorded in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. And he said, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. So he started off with the subject of repentance. He ended his whole ministry on earth saying repentance must be preached among all nations. Now, maybe we could get the idea then that this subject is pretty important. Whatever he's going to start and finish with, it's got to be important. If you're going to leave your family and you're going to, for some reason, never coming back, you're going to give them some instructions that you believe are the most important of the hour. And this was it. Now, in between those first and that last message that he preached while he was on earth, he said in Matthew 3 and 8, bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. Mark 1 and 15, repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark 6, 15, repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark 2 and 17, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He sent the disciples in Mark chapter 6 and preached that all men should repent. Mark 5 and 32, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Luke 13 and 3, he said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then in Luke 13 and 5, he said again, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Over and over, for 3.5 years, he began with repentance, he ended with repentance. It must be important. Then, the last recorded words of Jesus are found in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. This is the last thing that Jesus said. And he said what those seven letters were. He said, be zealous therefore and repent. Now, we've got to get it into our heads then that this is an extremely important subject. Because he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, we need to comprehend or understand what repentance is. What is it? In the last 25 to 35 years, the battle has raged at the leadership level of what we call fundamentalism on two titles. We have to give our battles titles. And one of them is easy believism, and the other one is lordship salvation. Those who are against what we call easy believism will say that you have to repent in order to be saved. Well, they're right. They're absolutely right. And those that are against what they call lordship salvation are saying, if you have to repent and Jesus has to be your Lord before you're saved, then that's works. And it's not by works of righteousness that he has done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. So they all have an argument. And you know, the recent article I just put out this week, if you've got a copy of it, was, why does the book of John not have the word repent in it? And it doesn't. And it's a book that's basically telling you how to get saved. Well, the book of John does not have the word faith in it, and the Bible says you're saved through faith. So if you're going to use that argument to say you don't have to repent in order to be saved, then use the argument you don't have to have any faith in order to be saved. Now we're completely contradicting the Bible. So I don't know if I'm helping you or confusing you to this point, but what I'm going to say right now will straighten it out. The Bible is very plain on this. Number one, the Word of God has to be preached. The Word of God has to be preached, or at least testified to. Somebody has to use the Word of God. What happens at that point is the Holy Spirit, who is in total harmony with the Word of God, will convict every single person in this world, some way or other. He will convict them of their sin to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, "My Spirit bears witness with your spirit." When conviction takes place, then we as individuals will either repent or reject the Holy Spirit. We'll either repent of our sins or we'll reject it. It's just that simple. Where's the works in that? There's no works in that. The problem, what happens is, in their argument, is they get the horse before the cart. They try to make it sound like you have to have Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life before you can repent, before you can be saved. And that's not what I'm saying at all. I will show you as we go through some scriptures in a minute that is exactly not what it is saying. So the word is preached, the Holy Spirit convicts, then we either repent or reject. Just that simple. Now, if we repent, there's going to be major, major changes in our lives as an evidence that we did repent. I will give you some examples. Obedience is an evidence that we have repented. Obedience. Obedience to what? Well, the first step in a Christian's life is to be baptized. That's what the Lord said. Repent, be baptized. Every one of you. Okay? With baptism, although baptism is not a entrance right into the church, with it comes church membership. If a person is genuinely saved, if they have repented, that is not going to be a problem to them at all. No problem at all. They may want to and should want to see Scripture. I'm going to give you a personal example. I hope I don't get in trouble here. But Mitch trusted Christ as his Savior, has a great testimony of how that happened, and you've heard it. He went to work, and there he told everybody that he was a Christian, which included China. China brought Mitch to church one Sunday morning. Between the time when he got saved and she talked with him at Subway, before he came to church, he already knew that he needed to be baptized, and he already knew that if he was going to do what the Bible said, he would tithe. First day of the week, lay in store as God has promised to redeem. That runs around every 7 days, by the way. It doesn't just when we feel like writing a check. It runs around every 7 days. First day of the week, we're on it again. China preached all that stuff to this brand new Christian. He understood it. One of his quote-unquote Christian friends tried to talk him out of tithing before he even got started in it. You're not going to give that much money. Yeah, I am. What is going on here? He met me in my office and he said he wanted to get baptized. Well, I told him what baptism is and what it isn't. And then I said, if you're going to be baptized and join this church, I mean, if you were going to join a baseball team and you told the manager you were only going to come one out of three games, would they let you join the team? Oh, no. Well, you're not joining this church either if you're going to play church. You'll sit home, watch television or something when you should be in church. You're not joining. Just that simple. That's exactly how I dealt with him. He's been here since I don't think he's missed a service since, unless he was providentially injured to miss it. You know, if you are genuinely saved, that's not a problem. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. And the truth will make me free. Well, what do we do today? We say, well, now, let's talk to these people about getting saved. And so, let's not say too much, though, because we might scare them away. You won't scare them away with the truth if they're saved. Oh, if we could just get them in church for a while, and maybe after 25 services, they'll pick up on something and start tithing. God does not need our help. He does not need us to get out there and try to do His job. This is the job of the Holy Spirit in the life of someone who has been saved. Why in the world, as a 12-year-old kid, did I go home and tell my dad I need a Bible? Why did I go out to my bicycle and take the handlebar grips off and take the cigarettes I had hid in my bicycle handlebars and throw them away? Why did I do that? The Holy Spirit. I didn't even need a message on cigarettes. Why did I put my Bible in my pocket and go to school knowing they were going to laugh at me? Why did I refuse to take my Bible out of my pocket when the teacher said, we're having picture taken today, take it out? And I said, no, it stays. I thank you, but it stays. Why did I do that? It's evidence that my life has changed. First, there's the word being preached. Second, there's conviction. Third, there's repentance. Fourth, as a result of that, there's a change. And obedience is a big part of that change. Give me the truth and I'll do what God says. I don't care what it is or isn't. That's salvation. That's repentance. Baptism, church membership, tithing will not be a problem if the person is genuinely saved. It won't be a problem. Let me give you some scripture for that. Three things that take place when you get saved. Number one, salvation begins with hearing the Word of God. Ephesians 1 and 13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Can it get any plainer than that? In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. That was the only verse we have. We have enough. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That word has been translated witness. Doesn't mean to say someone has to be in a pulpit preaching. They've got to hear the word of God. Luke 8:13 says, though it talks about those that fell on the rock, they are they which when they hear the word, receive it with joy. Yeah, give me happy to be a Christian. I'm going to do whatever God says. Luke 8:12 says, those by the wayside are they that hear the word. Hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They hear the word, but they reject it. The devil comes along and says, oh, what do your mother think? What do your father think? What do your friends at work think? What do the people at school think? Well, on and on. Oh, yeah, I give up on this. They heard it, but they reject. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They hear the word. The Holy Spirit convicts. They repent or reject. If they repent, there is a major change in the life. All things pass away. Old things pass away and all things become new. The second thing that happens, first there's the hearing of the word. Then the Holy Spirit convicts the sinner of his sin. John 16:8, verse 9 says, and when he is come, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. That word reprove has been translated convict other places. When he is come, he will reprove little Bob Kirkland, that 12-year-old kid in the Coliseum in Toronto. He will reprove him of his sin because he does not believe on me. And I didn't believe on him. I got reproved. I got convicted. And I got saved. But I got convicted before I repented. And here is the big argument. To get that silly idea that you have to repent before you get convicted. The whole thing that's left out of their argument is this thing about conviction. Yeah, you get the Word of God. Holy Spirit bears witness with the Word of God. He convicts the sinner of his sin, and then he repents or rejects. It's just that simple. Romans 2:4 says, not knowing, he questions these people, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I did not get repentance. I did not do that because I thought, I need to repent because I can't go to heaven until I do. It says, the goodness of God leadeth me to repentance. Wasn't my idea. Wasn't even my idea to go to that meeting. I was just there. God worked it out. But I got saved. The Spirit of God led me to repentance. Acts 11 and 18 says, they glorify God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Wow, he's granted. That word has been translated gift. I think it was 365 times. I don't remember. It's a lot of times. Then hath God also given the Gentiles the gift of repentance. It's a gift. It's not something you muster up. It's not work. It's a gift of God. Like salvation's a gift of God. Salvation and repentance are twin sisters. They just go together. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. He will give them repentance. So what happens is, they hear the Word of God. The Holy Spirit convicts the sinner. The sinner, now under conviction, has to make a choice. And that's number three. He repents. Or he rejects the reproving of the Holy Spirit. One or the other. Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Repent. It's so simple. I don't know why everybody's been arguing about this for the last 50 years. Mark 1:15 says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent. You hear the word? Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. Okay. Now I have to decide. I'm going to repent. I'm going to reject. I decided to repent. Because God gave me the gift of repentance. He let me do it. Luke 13:3. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And he repeated it again in two verses later. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's pretty simple. That's pretty simple. So here's repentance. It's so simple. Here it is. Here's what it is. Repentance is simply responding in a positive way to the Holy Spirit when we are convicted of sin. That's all it is. It's not some new leaf I turn over and then decide to pray. It is simply responding in a positive way to the Holy Spirit when we're convicted of sin. That's repentance. Rejection is responding in a negative way, saying, no, I'm not going to do this, and go on our way to hell. There is not a single person in this world who is saved if he or she did not repent of their sin when convicted of the Holy Spirit to do so. Nobody is saved without repentance. What part of nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish, is too difficult to understand. Why in the world would they argue that you don't need to repent? Here's why I think. They don't want to repent. There's a way more scriptures for Christians repenting than there is for unsaved people. And they are both. Well, I think the fact that these people who are promoting that you don't need to repent don't want to repent. Don't mess up my lifestyle. I'm trying to build a big church here, and if I go start preaching repentance, then they're not going to come. No, they're not, and you're not going to build a big church in this age if you're going to preach repentance. Now, you just preach a nice little diddly that says, you want to go to heaven when you die? Oh, yeah, I do. Well, then just pray this prayer, and you're in. Oh, you build a big church that way. You won't have any trouble with that. You'll have a whole bunch of people singing, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, while they're on the road to hell. You cannot get saved until you repent. Repent is not something I muster up. It is something that I get as a result of Holy Spirit conviction because I, my sin of not receiving Christ as my Savior, not believing in Him for the first 12 years of my life. So I made the decision. I made the right one. Now I'm a saved sinner. I'm going to heaven when I die. Not by works that I should glory. I believe the old story. And I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I should go to hell, but I'm not. Why? Because I repented. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And I repented, so I'm not going to perish. I don't know why these Bible college students can't figure that out, or these professors who teach this stuff. So we have to comprehend repentance. Second, we need to understand the consequences of the person who repents. The consequences. Now, we look at that word and we usually look at it in a negative way. But it can be good, it can be bad. Consequences is the result or effect of an action. That's all it is. So when you look at the subject of repentance, what are the consequences of the person who repents? Go with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Don't miss the word behold. He didn't have to put that in there. He did. When God uses the word behold, He is saying, hey, sit up, pay attention, this is very important, all things are become new. Now, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is an interesting phrase, in Christ, that appears in the New Testament 77 times. I'll give you a few. I'll give you the references to them if you want. I have them in my notes. I won't take time to read them. Right now, in 1 Corinthians 3:1, it says, babes in Christ, 4:10, wise in Christ, 4:15, instructors in Christ, asleep in Christ, hope in Christ, rejoicing in Christ, triumph in Christ, faith in Christ, redemption in Christ, life in Christ, truth in Christ, helpers in Christ. And here's a good one. Romans 3:24, there's now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ. In Christ. If you want a good Bible study, study that. You've got 77 verses you can look at. The result of repentance, the consequences, the good action, the result of it is you're in Christ. You're in Christ. Now, go please to Romans chapter 8. And verse number 38. Romans 8:38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. Did you get it? Nobody or nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Once you're saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit seals us. You're saved. If you're saved in the first place. So, we saw in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, new creature. When you get saved, at that instant, you become a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. Now that word creature, the Greek word has been translated, it is katesis, and it has been translated creation 6 times. So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things pass away, and all things are become new. The word creation is an interesting word. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ. There's that in Christ phrase again. When God created the world, the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Created the heavens and the earth. Now, the word created there in the first verse of the Bible is the Hebrew word bara. And it means to make something out of nothing. Later, he uses the word, and it's a different word. It means to make something out of something. So somebody made this pulpit out of a tree. It was one day a tree. Here we have this pulpit. It was made out of something. Now, if there was nothing here, and I had the power, and that wasn't sitting there, and all of a sudden I said, pulpit, please, and it popped in, that would be creating it out of nothing. I can't do that, but God can. When he created the world, he created it out of nothing. He spoke the word, and there it was. When you got saved, the Bible says you became a new creation. It says, as I read in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ. What's that mean? He gave us a new nature. That is, he created something out of nothing. This is extremely important. He did not take your old nature and rework it. You are not refurbished. You see these deals sometimes on the, you know, you can buy this computer for this amount of money, or you can buy this refurbished one for a little less. What have we done? We've refurbished the computer and made it work better. I never buy those refurbished ones. They scare me. They might be good, but they scare me. Why? There must have been a problem with it. They refurbished it. God didn't do that. When he gave you a new, he made you a new creation, he gave you a new nature. We're going to look at this tonight intensely. We're going to look at deeply into this. He didn't rebuild your old nature. It shot. That old nature cannot do anything but sin. That's all it can do. He didn't fix it. What he did do was he gave you a new nature. Now you have two of them. You have this old nature that says, don't worry about anything about this Bible stuff. Just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. You have a new nature if you have repented and you have been saved, and it says, no, you do what God says to do. So now you have this struggle, and you never had it before. There's evidence that you're a Christian. There's a desire to do what God wants you to do. And we're going to look at this again in a lot of depth. Not this morning. Now, when God created the world, we read, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. When he created the world, that's how it happened. That's exactly what happened when he created a new nature in you. You were without form and void, darkness. And what did he do? The Spirit of God moved. Then you either listen to the Spirit or rejected the Spirit. If you listen, that's called repentance. You confessed your sin. If you rejected, you didn't. The thing about this argument that they're having to say that you don't need to repent, it tells even a new Christian, you don't have to worry about what kind of lifestyle you live. You just live any way you want. That's nothing to do with getting saved. Oh, yes, it is. If you're genuinely saved, old things pass away and all things become new. So, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. Matthew 4:16 says, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. That's what happened when I got saved. Luke 1:79, give light to them that sit in the dark. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 12:46, I am come to a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Romans 2:19, thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them that are in darkness. Ephesians 5:8, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We could look at more. That should be enough to prove the point. We are brought from darkness into light. We are brought from death unto life when we get saved. And we get saved because we repent. And we repent because we're convicted of the Holy Spirit. And we're convicted of the Holy Spirit because somebody preached the word at us. I don't know how we can get it mixed up. When a person repents, Genesis 1:3 says, and there was light. Jesus said, I am come a light in the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. John 12:46. When a person repents, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things pass away and all things are become new. I was looking all week for a little course. Might be in one of our old course books that we have here, but I couldn't find it on the internet. I wanted to find it and play it for you today. And the trouble is, when you do find that stuff, you can't play most of it anyway if it's on the internet. But I couldn't find it. But there's that little course. Things are different now. Something happened to me. You know that chorus? Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. Things are different now. I was changed, it must be, when I gave my heart to him. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to him. Yeah. That's a kid's song. Kids understand it. Why can't preachers understand it? Things are different now. Well, what's different? A lot of stuff. John 8:47 says, you'll have a new love for the word of God. He that is of God heareth my word. He said in Romans 10:9, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's what happens when you get saved. You have a heart for the word of God. A new love for the people of God. We know that we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. 1 John 3:14. There's a lot of people out here who don't love you in this world. But I'll tell you who does. Christians do. We love one another in this church. We have great love here. How come? For we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You have a new desire for the will of God. The word of God, the people of God, the will of God. Romans 6:4, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. He works in you to do, to will his good pleasure. Your will becomes his will if you got saved. And there's a new peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, comprehension of repentance. What is that? Understanding what it is. All right? Very, very important. I'll say it again. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, working together with the Word of God, convicting the sinner of sin because they believe not on me, Jesus said. Then we either repent or reject. If you repent, you're saved. And if you don't, you're going to hell. It's just that simple. Comprehending. Then the consequences, results. There's going to be a major change. Old things pass away and all things become new. And there's not a single person on the face of this earth who says he trusted Jesus Christ that's really saved if they're happy with the things of the world. Not one. Not one. Third, there will be a change. All things become new. And I'll leave it here. The next thing we're going to look at is companions of the people who repent. What is a companion? A companion is someone with whom we spend a lot of time or with whom we travel. That's what the dictionary says. Your companions are going to change. Your companions. Now, I'll give you this one verse. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That is not talking about you and I fellowshipping together. Good application, but it's not the interpretation. It is talking about fellowshipping with God. 1 John 1:3 says, ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You know what? Someone I want to spend a lot of time with is Jesus. Someone I want to spend a lot of time with is God. And if you have no desire to do that, check and see if you're really saved. I want to spend time with God. I want to spend time with Jesus. And I want to spend time with Christians. The companions of the person who is really saved will change. Especially your companionship, one you spend a lot of time with and one you travel with. Don't we sing the song back when everybody had a brain and knew what repentance was? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sin and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. You know, check your hymn book and see how many of those people who knew what repentance was were talking about how great it is to fellowship with God. But check the new songs. It's all about, man, I got it made in the shade here. I'm just doing great now that I trusted Jesus as my Savior and I've got heaven to look forward to. And it's all about me. No, it's not all about me. It's all about Him. It's a major difference here, even in the songs. Major difference. I'll say it one more time. Okay, this is so important. It starts with hearing the Word of God. That's why the devil did such a great thing back in the 50s of coming out with about 25 different new translations now that are not the Word of God. If you have any of those NIVKEYMOUSE translations, burn them. Don't give them to somebody. You might poison them. Get back to the old King James Bible. It's the best translation you're ever going to find on the earth. Use it. Well, I can give you verse after verse after verse where the plan of salvation has been destroyed in the new translations of the Bible. For instance, Jesus was born of a virgin. The new translation says he was born of a woman or a young girl. No, she was a virgin. If she wasn't a virgin, we're all going to hell. Mercy. Okay, let's go back here. You hear the Word. The Word. Somebody talks to you over a cup of coffee. Somebody talks to you on the telephone. Somebody preaches to you in a church. But you hear the Word of God. At that point, somewhere along the trail, and hearing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will convict you that you are a sinner and you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I didn't understand this when I was 12. I didn't understand any of it. Boy, I understand it now. Okay, I felt that conviction. I won't read my poem again on conviction. I read it every week. But, man, I got convicted. Okay, you hear the Word. The Holy Spirit convicts. You repent or you reject. If you repent, there's a major change in your life, including the people you want to run with. A major change. Great evidences of salvation. All going back to related to 1 John, which we'll look at. Tonight we're going to look at, though, the two natures. We're going to look at those and get that straight, because there's a lot of verses that have to do with that. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your Word. Help us to realize how simple this is. And repentance is not, it's not me working up some kind of a plan. It's a gift. It's a gift. There's 3, 4, 5, 6 verses that tell us that. We look at them. So help us, and thank you, Lord. I pray that if there's anyone hearing my voice that has not repented, you'll work in their hearts that they would be saved. Those of us that have, help us to understand and accept the fact that you said this is it. Be convicted. Get saved. If we've done it, no man shall separate us from the love of God. Help us to understand that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.